Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I like having bottled water because I like to, you know, put the cap on. I have to worry about them on the couch, whatever. So I keep bottled water in the house. They take a bottle of water. They take one sip. They leave it here. I'm going through the house thing. That's like $1 or $2 every time I look. It's five different bottles of water.
Yes, that is correct.
You're okay.
Waste of water.
They want it's, you to go back, yeah, it's just
they want
a waste.
To go back to Costco and get more.
Yeah. By the way, here's the main thing. I'm the one taking the thing out of the thing and putting it away.
Hydro Flask, man. You got to invest in a Hydro Flask. It's like these big cans.
Another investment.
Look, what are you talking? It's a big can.
Jay is showing us something, a virtual thing right now.
Nah,
Jay,
it's not a
we need a thing that
thing.
Actually
you
know exists.
I'm just telling you, this will take all your plastic cups away. Because what your wife or what your kids will do is they will have one of these and they will pour 3 to 4 bottles of the plastic water things in here.
So for that, just use filtered water in that.
Or filter water,
yes. You got about 50 of those things in cabinets and then nobody touches them.
Well, right. Why not? That's your fault.
They use we do the filter thing. We got the filter thing in the refrigerator.
So why do you have plastic bottles?
We've had plastic bottles in the past.
That's too big and unwieldy. I don't want a big thing like that. I want a little bottle. This is easy. Throw it around.
Well, why? You're not even drinking water. It's going to take you 50 of those waters.
RJ,
to drink
that was a little wasteful.
If you have a party at the house, you bring water bottles and they're not all gone. You wind up keeping them in your house and putting them in the refrigerator and stuff like that.
Plus, Paki, you also in L.A. and California where you are, you'd be frowned upon if you had plastic everywhere. You need biodegradable plastic
in
or else.
In fact, the neighborhood we have to reduce our water because we have a water shortage. And so you should see some of the people's lawns.
Why that is?
Oh, my God. It's brown patches. It's the
farmers are growing too many avocados. Takes too much water. Or what is it, avocado or something?
You could also pay the fine.
Kids, like me, I'll pay the fine.
Let me tell you something.
Burn your grass up.
There's no fine that's too high if you can't take a shower with regular water pressure.
And then they try to threaten you by telling you this, and one in the mail, they're going to fine you, two, fine you, three. By the time you get to like 4, they turn off your water.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
No. Yeah, they turn it off for several days. They come out and put the little lock on it so you can't go out there and jimmy it open.
This conversation escalated quickly from water bottles to turn your water off.
I'm trying to remember what the crop is in California that they grow that it's very – almonds, I think, right? It's like incredibly water intensive. And as a result of the farmers growing the almonds, no one has water in Southern California somehow.
That's how they came up with almond milk.
By the way, keep it the way it is because I need my almond milk.
Point towards me, kid. He pointed at me with the almond milk.
Almond milk. How do you get milk out of an almond?
I'm an oat milk guy.
Yeah, both. Either one.
I have to do oat milk.
I can't do dairy, though, and I want some, you know,
vitamin
milk.
Vitamin D? Yeah, I can't do it.
I don't drink milk at all, really. I mean,
at all? Really?
What do you have in your cereal?
I don't have. When was the last time I had cereal?
Yeah, me too. Damn it.
I had cereal.
Love cereal.
I love a good bowl of cereal.
Oh, we could bracket up. We could bracket
like
up cereals in March. We could do a cereal bracket.
Grape nuts.
Jeez, I haven't eaten grape nuts either.
Crazy. Oh. Remember that?
Yeah.
I was a little boy.
Oh, just tear your whole mouth
up. Tear your mouth up.
Just Captain Crunch, all of it. Fruity Pebbles.
The only good really low sugar Lucky cereal Charms. That they have is Kix. Kix are pretty good considering there's no sugar in there.
Lucky Charms was legit because I watched TV, sit down and watch Super Friends and cross my legs.
Oh, Lucky almonds? Charms so good. They got marshmallows in there, man.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
But those aren't healthy.
There's a lot of healthy cereals out
there. Those are sugary cereals.
Not the ones you're talking about.
No. I'm not eating shredded wheat, Jay.
But if it's frosted shredded wheat,
I'm not eating that.
I'll mess with that. You just better get it in the first 30 seconds
because then it turns around your grandmother or something.
Yeah,
wheat's that.
Run to the bathroom
shredded
after.
Y'all cereal sound old.
That's some old. Cereal. That's what I'm saying. Who eats shredded wheat?
Frosted shredded wheat. I'll mess with some of those. The mini ones.
Yes, but it's just to get soggy cereal, Yates?
Yeah, I'm a cereologist, brother. Yeah.
You're a cereologist. What are your favorite cereals?
You know, you got Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You got all the Captain Crunch flavors. You have Apple Jacks is a low end joint, so you can't.
Like a lot of Red Dye 40. If you're asking,
sounds like a lot of cartoons.
Now y'all worried
about
Red Dye?
I'm just saying.
Fruit Loops. By the way, Fruit Loops, Fruity Pebbles, chocolate. Pebbles.
I'm not a big Frosted Flakes dude because I drink the milk and you got a little bit of flakes floating around in the milk. Can't do it.
Man, they're all so good. Cookie Crisp, I'll mess with all those cereals. I'll mess with Cookie Crisp all day.
When's the last time you had bowl cereal, Max?
Okay, now I've lost a lot of weight, as you can see off my gut.
I cannot see.
Well, I'll take my word for it.
I'll take my word for it.
I went from about 200 down to about 185 right now.
Lost 15 pounds in the span of 2 weeks?
No, in the span of like 6 months.
You just stopped eating breakfast 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but I started to get a little more serious in the diet, like 3 months. 3 months. Yeah.
Are you sure about this?
Yeah. You could wait. I bring in a scale, I promise.
I'm going to bring in the scale tomorrow.
Matter of fact, I have to start lifting because I'm getting too, like, I've got no muscles anymore. I'm not lifting.
You never really had muscles to begin with.
Oh, no, I was pretty ripped up.
Are we talking about back to, like, where you had the fade cut?
Well, maybe. All right, listen. Let's get off this topic. I don't like it anymore. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to team up with Hello Alice to support small businesses. Get access to small business resources and learn more about small business grants at HelloAlice.com. We were just talking about whether or not KD needs to win a title as the quote-unquote bus driver to get the respect he deserves. It's because Charles Barkley said on Friday that KD needs to win one as the bus driver to get the respect he deserves from the old heads. CJ McCollum was just on with us and told us why Barkley is wrong.
I think what he fails to realize is that this is a different era of basketball, right? In which I'm speaking about me personally. Like, KD could win a championship or not win a championship, again, in his lifetime, and I would still think he's a great basketball player. Whether he won a championship or not with the Warriors, how he did it, he drove the bus. He talks about driving a bus, right? Like, maybe it wasn't his bus, but he took the keys and he drove it. And he was the best player on that team. And, you know, Warriors fans got mad at me when I said that, but I was just being honest. I love Steph Curry's game, but Steph Curry is 6'3". When you're 7 foot and you can shoot off the dribble, you can shoot, play in the mid post, run an offense, defensively, he can rotate. I think his greatness speaks for itself.
Man, CJ's exactly right. And I don't care what no one says. The problem with this is, though, when you're inside a locker room, when you have appreciation for the skill set, Max, you know how one time we were talking about Steph, and I was like, man, like, sitting courtside with you, seeing how tall, seeing how fast, seeing how long guys are, like, if you're a fan and you don't get that opportunity to see it, I don't think you truly recognize how difficult it is to do what Stephen Curry was doing at 6'2", 6'3", right?
That's crazy.
It's the same thing when you see KD, like, God, you 7 feet? You're doing this with the ball? That's what Dame or Kyrie does with the ball. Who is stopping you? So I'm with CJ on the level of greatness because I feel it that way. The problem is the masses, though, they buy into storylines. And the storyline is that you joined a 73-win team and that's the only way you ever get a championship. So far,
that's been true, though.
Understood.
And he was on a very good Thunder team. But wait,
let me finish. The only way you can be great is by being a bus driver and driving a bus by yourself and going to a team and doing it by yourself. I'm like, well, wait, you could be great. Greatness doesn't always equate to a championship. The person we just heard talk hasn't won a championship. Charles Barkley hasn't won a championship.
But that's why you never hear Barkley mentioned in the top 10 or 15.
But Barkley's still great.
But yes, and yes, so is KD. Yeah. But when you look at KD, you think he should finish his career as top five.
Let me ask you a question. But KD has how many championships?
Two.
How many finals MVPs?
Two.
Okay. So it's way different than Barkley.
But look, the conversation isn't whether or not he's great. We know he's great. The conversation is separating yourself from the narrative in the masses that's out there that has this opinion of you as a guy who only got the two championships because you joined a team that won 72 games that you lost 73 or whatever the number was that you eventually that you lost to the year before.
That's why I said there's two separate conversations.
So if you want to separate yourself, you have to do that. You say Kobe Bryant. The reason Kobe Bryant is Kobe Bryant, not only the three that he won, but the two that he got without Shaq, because a lot of the credit on the three goes to Shaq. Yep. Then Shaq leaves, goes to Miami. He wins one with Dwayne Wade, but he wins it because of Dwayne Wade and whatever little bit he chipped in.
But Wade was in the Kobe role, so he showed you, I could do this without you, Kobe.
Yeah, exactly. And so that is the difference. And then Kobe wins it. That's what it is for KD.
Mm-hmm. Oh, once Shaq won that title, Kobe had to respond. If Kobe doesn't win without Shaq, he's still an all-time great player.
Not to respond as all-time great, but respond to people,
that
saying you can't do it without the diesel.
I'm one of those people, and I think it's important for him to respond so that I think he, look, unless we're saying that the whole is not greater than the sum of its parts, if we're saying that there's nothing magic that happens on a team, it's just each individual skill. If we're saying that, fine, KD is what he is and no championship will ever change that. But if instead what we're saying is, no, a team is different than just we're going to count up the individuals. Something extra happens on a team. Then championships do matter if you're someone like KD.
Injuries play. I mean, a couple years ago, man, when they had Kyrie got hurt.
Yeah, they'd have gotten one
right
that year.
Right there.
Yeah, they would have definitely gotten one.
There's an element of luck that goes into it. It's like if Steph is out longer for his hand injury.
All that.
Like it, you all that,
KD, Kyrie, and Harden were about to murder the game. Yeah,
yes,
true.
But
it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
And then the people
like Max Kellerman,
will say exactly what I'll say.
He hasn't won yet. They're not going to look at it like me and you. Because here's what I'm going to say to you.
Crazy.
Here's what I'm going to say to you though. Is Klay Thompson great?
Yes,
absolutely. Is Klay Thompson great?
Yes.
So you're saying yes, but do you really believe that?
Yes,
he's great?
I think he is a great player.
But he is not the bus driver.
Because I'm never thinking of Klay as a top 10 all-time player. I would think of him as a top 10 all-time shooter. Arguably a top 10 all-time shooting guard.
But just because he's not top 10 doesn't mean he's not great.
No, he is great. But the whole thing about KD and championships, what has he got to prove, has nothing to do with greatness. We already know he's great. It has to do with when you look at KD, man, that should be a top five all time when it's all said and done. But when you're comparing the greatest of the greatest, well, damn, this dude won championships without this guy, and this guy led the league and everything every year, and also won, and so that's who we're comparing.
The reason
them to.
I even bring up the Klay situation, because like Jay said, you don't have to be a bus driver to be great.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what it is too with KD, which is interesting. Like you look at, like there's a. I'm that dude type of mentality, but I think all the extra stuff too, like on social media, what happens, like a lot of that stuff kind of gets used against him, right? Against his overall greatness to a degree, because people don't feel like he is as steadfast as other like guys that are top five.
So I don't ever
like
think...
oh, he lets things get to him that other guys never
That's
really
what I was
get,
about to, say.
Get
I
to him.
I wouldn't have. I personally wouldn't envision Michael Jordan doing what KD does as far as social media stuff. If it was that era, I don't
Kobe Bryant too?
Kobe, none of them. I just don't. Yeah. I don't think they would pay attention
to
that. I mean,
here's something else for you.
They would just go out there and use it.
Out of all the players in the history of the game, I think Grant Hill said this last week on JJ's podcast. I mean, have we ever had one of the best players ever to play the game that was as scrutinized, as criticized? And granted, he stood up for a lot of different things. But as much as LeBron James still has persevered in the midst of all that, and won like
there was less you'd say Kareem, but there was much less media when Kareem was out, and he came in with the Bucks, so it's different.
Like,
yeah,
hearing that about KD, it makes me appreciate guys like LeBron, how it doesn't really they use it, they keep going. Like, but for KD, the ball just needs to bounce the right way for him, man. Like they were so close multiple times.
Of course, it needs to bounce. If he
so much
know,
of this is luck, man.
It's so much of it is luck, Max.
When he make left your own OKC, luck in another way, though.
You do. But like when you're playing against the Bucks and the Bucks go on to win it, you drop a 50-point triple double. And I hear what you're saying about the air ball shot. But then, like if you had James Harden somewhat slightly healthier, not hobbling around, you win that series.
No one would have taken them seven games. No one would have taken them seven games.
If was a fifth,
I know. But damn,
we'd all be you know it up.
Yeah,
I mean it's just.
But it's like almost like he gets minimized.
Take our own careers. For instance, Jay, had I played with Philip Rivers my entire career, would my numbers look like?
A lot better.
A lot better.
10, 15 years in the league.
That's just how it is. It happens that way. But nobody's going to discount that when discussing us. The first thing they're going to say
because people discuss top line issues because they can't dig into context.
But Jay, I think partly it's because this history, it's a story. And there's generally, when you're telling the quick history, people are not as interested in the deep details. They want to know headlines. Michael Jordan went 6-for-6.
But a lot of that is dictated by the media, that it's their job to come up with interesting storylines to sell different stories.
Well, I do think
factual.
We've covered this ground, but I want to get a little bit back to what you were talking about. Barkley and Klay is great and great is great. We do have different expectations for different players. Charles Barkley, we have bigger expectations for it than Klay Thompson. He's a great, Charles Barkley on the power forward list would probably be ahead of Klay, because Charles Barkley, year in and year out, was a perennial MVP caliber player, and Klay is not quite that, though he's great. But KD, we have a higher expectation for KD than Barkley. We already have it in our minds. KD's better than Barkley. So the expectation for KD, Barkley, if he just would have won one, even if he chased it and went to Houston and won one, good enough. KD, we look at KD, we think Jordan, LeBron, Kareem. He's the best of the best of the best. He should be in that conversation.
Well, he went in that conversation when he got those two, and he just took over. Yep. If he'd have stayed at OKC, no matter what his numbers would look like, I don't think he would have been in
the
conversation.
Unless he would have won.
Unless he would have won a few. As a player, wouldn't have did it.
But you know what's hard about KD, though? Even if he hadn't have won, Max, I would push back on KD just a little bit. If you already got a chance to sit down and watch Kevin Durant work out, yo, and you see him in real time, you're like, damn.
But see, you keep using your basketball.
I know, because
brain versus the common Max Kellerman.
I agree.
That can't watch
but
him work
out. I'm trying to tell you, if you were to watch Michael Jordan work out and watch Kevin Durant work out, if you were able to bring them back together like in real time in today's age, you wouldn't see that much of a difference, man.
And that may be true.
Except with the exception that one 7 feet tall.
And Jordan has a certain type of killer in him.
Well, KD has a certain type of killer, too. It just doesn't come out in all aspects of life.
Like no. What I'm saying, I'm not saying KD can't be
a killer, man.
I'm not saying KD can't be a clutch player. I'm saying it was very clear, as good as the Bulls were when Phil Jackson put them together, that if you took Jordan and replaced him with Clyde Drexler, maybe they win, maybe they don't. Drexler was great. Jordan was a killer. If you compared like the will to win and all that stuff, Jordan was different. He was different.
But
by the way, some guys have that.
The will to win. I'm going to just tell you, it's also telling a story, too, now.
Yeah.
It's also telling a story.
Man.
When you tell a story about Jordan's will to his will to kill.
But how many times did he hit? How many times?
I understand that, but you're telling the story. If you never tell the story and he was hitting clutch shots, we wouldn't be sensationalizing it.
If I never knew anything about Jordan except for what he did on the basketball court, I'd look at him and be like, that dude is a killer.
But Max, I hate this. Jay, what's your biggest takeaway from the game? Or blah, blah, who's your biggest takeaway from the game? Oh, this one team didn't have the will to win. What?
Right.
One team that had the will to win.
Indulge me, man. Humor me for a second, please, okay? I get what you're saying. On the other hand, I think that if people talk about it enough, they come to the same place. For example.
He wants it more.
No. For example.
What?
KD's skill is beyond question. Size, skill, the whole thing is beyond question. Do you believe,
yes,
that if you put Kobe Bryant's brain in KD's body, KD's got the same skills, but now he's thinking like Kobe Bryant. Do you think he wins a championship in OKC?
But he does think like Kobe Bryant.
You think so?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Dude, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You never spent any time with this man. I'm trying to tell you.
Kobe not worrying about...
Dude, he is... Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're worried about all that other stuff.
Yeah, get outside the social media stuff.
He is fixated on the game.
The game.
And fixated on winning,
dude. We're talking about the game.
I have seen instances in OKC where if KD would have been better in the fourth quarter, they beat the Warriors.
Well,
they beat the Warriors. If he would, Jay, I'm not making it up. You saw it too.
Max, I love Kobe to death.
Yeah. He had bad fourth quarters too.
He had bad fourth quarters.
Sure, he did.
I was getting ready to go there. I just wanted to lay out.
I should have said MJ.
He had bad fourth quarters too.
But by the way, you're right. Okay, you know what? Jay, Key, that just opened my eyes a little bit. You might be right. The reality is not comparing him to Kobe or this one or that
comparing him to MJ.
And that is
different.
It's different. But when you look at KD, you think there's nothing that should disqualify him as a player for competing for the number one spot.
KD got hella crazy fourth quarters.
And by the way, when the stats are all said and done, his numbers will be up there with the top five in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, does that equate to championships? I don't know. I don't know for him.
But in terms of the fourth quarter stuff, he got crazy fourth quarters. KD.
Yeah, but they were, I understand
that. Here's the problem.
But in very high leverage fourth quarters, when it wasn't a 90-10 situation like in Golden State, when it was 50-50, OKC, Golden State, he and Westbrook had bad fourth quarters when they really needed those.
Yeah, but the dude what is you're talking to, about when the dude was 12 years old.
The dude's
and Jordan, when he was 12, had bad fourth quarters.
The dude is not.
Not with the money on the line.
For as prolific as a score as a game of basketball has ever seen, efficiency-wise, he's the most gifted. Challenge it.
Yeah, well, because
the numbers
you,
are right there with
the
MJ.
Way I would challenge
the
that
numbers
is
are
say,
right there with MJ. The most efficient to ever do it.
I get it, but you have to take it to the context of the league. In this league, there's many, many more efficient scorers. They know more now.
Not with the volume of scoring.
No, not than KD, generally. They know three-point shots, free throws, avoid mid-range, et cetera, et cetera.
But he's a mid-range guru.
So the entire the entire league got more efficient.
I'm not talking about the entire – I'm talking about Kevin Durant,
Wait,
dude.
Understand what I'm saying. You might hit 30 home runs in baseball. But if the league is hitting – if every average player in the league is hitting 30 home runs, that's not the same thing as hitting 30 home runs when everyone's hitting 5 or 10. In other words, KD is super efficient in a super efficient era.
Jordan was super efficient
in an era that wasn't nearly as efficient.
He would have been super efficient in Jordan's era, too, because of his skill set, man.
Of course.
But wait, Max,
of course.
Players today aren't as don't even come close to as efficient as Kevin Durant.
The gap.
So I understand that you're saying players have become more efficient.
What I'm saying
efficient.
Is the gap between KD and the other great players is what needs to be compared to Jordan in terms of the gap between Jordan and other great players. Not simply KD's efficiency versus Jordan's efficiency because they played
really,
in two different
really,
leagues.
But really, was it that big of a gap?
No, it's probably comparable.
Or was it in Jordan's era, was it that big of a gap or was Jordan the one on the team that took those shots in those moments?
No, but we're talking about efficiency.
But I understand that is you have to take the shots to get the efficiency.
Nah, he was just better than
that.
During
this dude's career, 27 points for his entire career. 27 points per game.
Who?
KD.
Uh-huh.
27 points per game. 49% from 49.6 rounded up to 50% from the field and 38.4% from the three-point line.
Right, but this is what I mean. Wait, stop right there.
Okay.
The average percentage from three is significantly higher than it was back in the
How
day.
How about mid-range?
It's not for mid-range.
Okay,
right.
So
I don't think. Okay. I don't think. I don't know the answer to that question.
That kind of debunks a little bit of your theory.
No, no.
Because everybody's mid-range games is not 50% as a guard.
It's not my theory. My point is you can't simply compare this guy's efficiency to that guy's efficiency. You have to look at this guy's efficiency in the context of his league to that guy's efficiency in the context of his league. And the answer may be they're comparable. I don't know. But the point is I'm not just plucking out a dude. He shot this from three in his career. He shot that 30 years later from three because everyone practices shooting threes more now.
But I look at it and say it this way, though, Max. Jordan was asked to do more than maybe some of the other people in his league at that time.
So Luka averaged 31 points per game. He shot 45% from the field. Mm-hmm. So KD is 5% better.
Yeah, KD is better than Luka if he's healthy.
I'm giving you the top scoring leaders from people that you are saying their numbers are similar. They're not similar. They're pretty big. 5% is a big jump.
No, understand. KD, I'm not arguing, is going to be more efficient than other players in his era. He will be. What I'm saying is to compare him to another player from another era, you need to see how much more efficient those other players were than their league and compare that to KD in the same way instead of head-to-head.
Yes.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max presented by Progressive Insurance. It has to do with NFTs. I'll explain it to you later.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike. today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
So many people love them, but they do have a little bit of pettiness in them. And I think all of the doubters, all of the haters that have been talking down to them over the past 2 years.
Clearly remember some expert putting up the big zero of how many championships we would have going forward.
There was this one player on the Grizzlies who tweeted strength in numbers after they beat us. I can't wait to retweet that thing. Freaking bum. Gonna mock us like you ain't ever been there before, bro. We've been there. We know what it takes. So to be here again, hold that.
Got to slow it down. Ooh, watch out. You got to lose control.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Ooh. I swear to God, I'm so old, Jay, that I remember when New Edition came out, and the whole point was it's like the new edition of the Jackson 5.
Hmm.
I remember the reason why they were called New Edition when they first dropped. Hmm. Fifth grade. I think I was in the fifth grade.
Yeah,
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah. But have that whole
seen,
first
have you
album.
Seen this video recently,
no.
though?
No.
You got to just see it.
No. Ralph Tresvant's probably 13 or something like that at the time.
You gotta see the video though. The jeans they wearing, the haircuts.
Were the jeans baggy? Big baggy?
No, they were just tight. Like
tight jeans.
They was probably wearing like Jordache or something.
Popcorn Love was on this record. They had everything. Telephone Man. Founder of Religion Sports and director of The Sessions, Draymond Green. Gotham Chopra is with us. Good morning.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well. You know, play a little New Edition. It puts you in a good mood. What was your biggest takeaway from the sessions with Draymond, Gotham?
You know, Draymond, well, I guess my biggest takeaway is, you know, I'm a huge Celtics fan, so I was very conflicted during this whole series because, you know, I spent a lot of time working with Draymond, and, you know, Draymond's a really smart, self-aware guy, which maybe I didn't know just from afar because I, like everyone else, just watched this super emotional guy for the last few years. But, you know, he came to me about a year ago and was like, hey, I'm looking for some way to harness this and help me sort of get to the next level. And it's not physical, it's emotional and it's mental. So we started working on some stuff and documented it. And lo and behold, here we were a year later while he was coming up big, especially in the deciding game to take down my Celtics. So it was very tough to watch, but, you know, great project, and I am kind of happy for him and happy for Steph, who I've also worked with. Pretty amazing, you know, triumph for those guys.
Gotham, I think one of the things always interesting about Dre, and I called it after they won the chip, I said, this is going to be the summer of pettiness, right? How they have each other's backs, how they are do or die for one another. How was he able to articulate his relationship with Steph and Clay and what that trio means in basketball's history?
Look, I think Draymond is very, like I said, self-aware. You know, he's a really, really bright guy. And I think he knows his role on that team. And, you know, over time, it's one thing has stayed constant. And people talk a lot about him being like the emotional heart and soul of that team. And so even when, you know, the offense was suffering, even when he went through some down periods during the series itself, he kind of knows what his role is with that team and just like sort of being the glue in some ways, especially amongst those three guys. And so he's got the team's back. He's got his guys back, and he really like plays that anchor no matter, you know, what, no matter the ebbs and flows of the team. And so he's an anchor. He's a steadying, which is sort of ironic considering how emotional he is. But I think internally, if you talk to any of those guys, they know how dependable he is.
Gotham, is he the, like, millennial version of Charles Barkley of this generation?
I mean, I guess that's a good way of putting it. I mean, he really, I think for a long time, he had this chip on his shoulder, you know, coming out of school, going to Michigan State, not even falling in the draft, just being drafted late. Then being the guy who was discounted early in his career. And he had that chip, but I think something happened to him over the last few years. He needed to find, look, it's just life. He grew up, became a dad. He's in a relationship, all that sort of stuff. And he needed to find something to sort of continue to motivate him. And that's where we started getting together. I think all great players do that. And yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, Chuck would be a great, they have similar games on the court. And I do think there's also just that bravado, that confidence, that chippiness. You know, Draymond's accomplished a lot, though. You know, not to take anything away from Charles Barkley, one of my favorite players growing up. But, like, I mean, what's amazing is Draymond's got 4 chips now, 4 rings. I mean, that's pretty incredible for a guy like him. I mean, I think we've come to expect that, and it's sort of become part of the Steph Curry mythology. But you have to remind yourself that Draymond's been there all along just as well.
How important has Steve Kerr been in all of this?
I mean, Steve, it's a legend. He's up to 9 now as a player and a coach. Again, talk about steadying influence. It is interesting, you know, you talk to Draymond about Steve, and it's not just all, like, you know, flowers. I mean, he challenges them. He pushes them. I think Draymond is really, you know, going back to Tom Izzo and then, of course, Steve Kerr, he's always had this interesting relationship with his coaches, and, you know, he pushes them, but they certainly push him. They know how to push his buttons. And I think Steve Kerr, you see this with great coaches. It's not just like putting guys in the right place, but it's putting them in the right place emotionally, mentally. And that's the type of thing that, you know, Draymond especially needs. He needs to be challenged. He's a fiery guy. And if you just let him coast, he kind of does. But I think Steve Kerr knows exactly, you know, where to push Draymond.
The Sessions, Draymond Green, is a gripping personal look inside the mind of NBA superstar Draymond Green. The special presentation is a co-production of Amazon Studios and Religion of Sports and is directed by Religion of Sports Gotham Chopra. It's available now on Prime Video. Gotham, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Jay and his carnival rides.
What's wrong with me and my carnival rides? Jay, just because I got dizzy and I was nauseous, like
no,
an
it's
old
because
man
if they weren't
the
there on a if they weren't there on a Saturday, and then on a Sunday they erected an entire amusement park.
I don't like that you're escalating my anxiety that I already had on going on it as I was trying to check all the bolts and the screws to make sure these things.
Oh, no,
how close was this to your residence?
Yeah,
2 miles away.
So you usually drive past?
Yeah,
the
yeah
lot
we drive every day,
all of that,
every day.
It, like Max said. If it wasn't there on Saturday, what made you think it was a great idea to go
well, because
on
they hire,
Sunday?
I'll tell you, in Jay's defense, they hire only the finest engineers to put this thing together.
The 16-year-old saying, go lock yourself in while he's filming his own TikTok.
But the beauty part of it is you and your family had a great outing.
The beauty part of it or the beautiful part of it?
The beauty part.
The beauty part.
Beauty part. Yeah, sure. Then why do you make things work for him, but you chastise
I
me?
I know. I do it right back
no,
to him
you
with you.
No, you never do it to him.
Well, maybe a little bit. Little big brother, little brother.
I can say beautiful part. Of it, if you want me to really get
that would be
into
correct.
It, I mean,
King's English,
yeah,
preferably here on this show.
I want him to talk about me on Instagram and say I can't speak or something, whatever. But anyway, the great thing about it is that better for you?
Yes,
it was for you and
but
your family.
It was fun. Here's my thing though, lines are too long, too hot outside.
Yeah. Why was the lines too long?
I mean, this wasn't. It's not.
You didn't have an easy pass?
No, there's no easy pass here.
You know, Larry David has a line. Larry David has a line about this. You can't leave the house. You can't leave the house. Why leave the house? Come on. Jay, you got the hardwood floors. You got the pool outside. You got the family, a grill outside. What are you leaving the house for? Where are you going?
You want to have these experiences with your kids. You know, you want to go out and have fun.
It is true that part of a kid's childhood is making the adult that looks after them miserable, at least some of the time. Yes, I
do nothing for myself. I do it all for the kids.
Yeah, right. As you should. That's what you should be doing as a parent.
You wouldn't be coming into work and taking this abuse every day if not for the kids.
Not.
I would say, though, in the future, though, if it's not there on Saturday and it appears Sunday, chances are it's probably not a good idea.
It was there for a four-day stay.
You know the expression, Thursday, Rome Friday, wasn't Saturday, built Sunday. In a day? Not this place. This place was built in a day.
The little red tickets
The worst, though, before you go up on the Ferris wheel, and the Ferris wheel is not like the most volatile of all, like, you know, things are going. The guy's like, hey, look, with your weight, you probably don't want to.
See.
What does that mean? Don't say that as me and my child.
You need to balance the other side of the.
With your weight, what? Am I? I'm 195.
Take a look at the guys.
Little guy like you.
Together too.
Little guy like you, they're worried about the weight?
You're the worst person on this show, man.
No, but I'll tell you what.
And if they're selling corn dogs, be careful.
Yeah, not doing that.
But as a little kid, you really think it's the most fun you could have.
Oh, she was having a. She was
everywhere. That's great. See, so it's great. You did it for your little girl, of course.
Wanted to wait in every line until she did it.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Are we there yet?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Just listen to me. Listen to someone with a lot of experience talking a mess without doing anything. I'm an expert in this field. I'm going to start a service the way Key advises teams.
I like this.
I'm going to start a service. I'm going to show NBA players who haven't done anything yet. I'm an expert in this. How to clap back. How to clap back.
How'd you clap back at Tom when he won the chip after you said he felt
clipped? What is there to say? I can't clap back. All I can say is it turns out I'm the second most important person in the Tom Brady story, as it turns out. Who knew? Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. So today's theme seems to be, Key, what you anticipated, Jay, what you anticipated last week. After Steph won the championship, you both for some reason looked at me and said, my next target, nice projection from the two of you, is going to be KD and how he has to win away apart from Steph, but it's not really mine or Charles Barkley's or yours.
It's yours, for sure.
It is what it is. It's just what it is.
You've been plotting about this since last year.
Yes.
You think I don't write the script. I just read
You're
it.
Like Eminem.
The players write the script.
They do. But what happens when the players write the script is people like you drive it. And so
salivate.
You create this illusion that a player has to do more than what he's already done to be validated in his profession.
All right.
All that sort of stuff.
All right. I like it.
Somebody, the villain, create this villain of an individual when it's not there.
Well, it's not. I don't mean to create a villain in KD. For sure not. I don't think of KD as a villain.
I don't mean to.
I don't. But I do think that there's a certain understood level of his greatness already and his excellence as a basketball player, which where the expectations by, and this is because of his own dedication and talent, the expectations go beyond a great player or a Hall of Famer or even a first ballot Hall of Famer or even an all-time great player. The expectations are that he's going to do things that only the, you know, 10 best or whatever, the innermost sanctum of the Hall of Fame do. That he did that to himself by his own greatness. And you know, so then we start to ask questions.
But if he didn't ever go to Golden State and never won a championship and was still KD dropping 30 every night, night in and night out, what's that conversation like?
But see, that's why him going to Golden State and getting that doesn't tell me a lot, because I already knew he was that. What I would have liked to see, had he stayed where he was, win a championship there. Or go to some place and create your own thing and win a championship instead of having a ready-made, oh my God, we can't lose, watch this situation. To me, it doesn't tell me anything I didn't already know. I knew he was great. I knew he was incredible, you know? I want to see him make something out of something that's not there yet, right? Because otherwise, there is no magic to the team game. It's just.
So why is LeBron more magical than KD?
Well,
he did go back to Cleveland and got them their first championship in franchise history. That was a pretty monumental thing.
No, I understand.
I'm on your side.
No, I'm just trying to understand how you separate the two, because he goes to Miami and puts three Hall of Famers together and wins a couple chips.
Yeah.
Then he goes back to Cleveland, clearly when Kyrie was on the up.
It's just so different, though, Key, because I feel like a lot of the intangibles for Bron and KD are different, right? I think we're watching KD right now finally be in that position, like full-time position of like kind of like de facto GM, de facto like who's the right coach. Like, you know, in OKC, he went through that a little bit, but then obviously he hit the ground running with Golden State. Now all these things coming into play. Will Kyrie sign an extension? Like, he's managing it.
No, part of it is, Jay, what you just said, which we could have a whole other show on this one, but Larry Bird gets to Boston. Red Auerbach's calling the shots. He goes out and gets some Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish and Dennis, right? Like, Magic Johnson gets to L.A. Jerry West is calling the shots, right? He already had Kareem, goes out and gets some James Worthy and all this. LeBron got to Cleveland. Who's calling the shots? Dan Gilbert? So, he didn't have anyone there to get him what he needed. So he became his own GM. And I think part of what we now do in the modern NBA is we want to know not only LeBron, KD, whoever, how great a player you are, but how great a GM are you? How great?
Agreed.
Right? Like, it's part of the whole new kind of NBA.
What other players can you recruit? Like, you know, is the coach the right coach? What are the schemes? I mean, LeBron would get criticized for checking a stat sheet during a timeout because he was trying to read the flow and ebb and flow of the game. Like, but it's amazing how you, almost in a way, you have to do that. I mean, even the removal of David Blatt, right? Like, he took a lot of heat for that.
He did.
But they won a championship, so.
That's why I said it didn't matter. But de facto GM.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Now, Kevin Durant has to figure out how he can become a de facto GM.
That's exactly my point.
You get measured at that level. At the LeBron KD level, you get measured partly on your GM skills.
He is a great GM, though. Sean Marks is a legit great GM. I mean, he comes from San Antonio's tree. He's an incredible GM.
Listen, what they put together in Brooklyn, I agree with both of you about this. Had they not been snake bit, they were getting ready to crush everybody.
But they are snake bit. So now what?
Nothing good ever happens for that team.
It surely seems that way.
Just wonder what's going to happen with Kyrie and all these rumors.
He's going
circulating.
To the Lakers. What do you mean?
Circulating. Look at all these rumors. Conversations aren't going well. And how does that play out for him and KD? I can't see him going anywhere, though.
Could you imagine?
I think if he were to go somewhere else, it wouldn't ruin their relationship at all because they're brothers more so than anything. But I wonder what the communication would be between those two, considering Kyrie is one of the big reasons why KD did come to Brooklyn.
Would it even matter at that point, though? Because if I came to Brooklyn and then you bounced on me, there's no need to have a relationship. Well, unless they both say, you know what, man, this ain't going to work.
I don't know.
There is something, though, that if Kyrie took off, it would seem like, man, KD, like, was it would feel like that the love, or I can't comment on their personal relationship, but their kind of influence with each other is uneven. That
some
Kyrie
people,
has
some
more
people,
influence with KD
some
than
people,
vice versa.
I wouldn't do this because I think some things were unforeseen.
Yeah.
But some people would say they would question the decision-making of Kevin Durant to entrust Kyrie. Some people will go down that path. Yeah. Some people will go down that path.
Yeah.
Even though in reality.
I raise my hand. I'll volunteer for that job.
Even though in reality, nobody saw a pandemic coming and how that would affect relationships and people's decisions.
All I know is if he come to L.A., we got room for him. We got plenty of kale, avocado, parsley, mint,
kale,
lemon
avocado,
juice.
Nature
we could do
trails.
All that.
And
we got all nature trails. Yeah. He could walk around Venice Beach with no shoes on.
Yep.
He could do his deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Talking about Eastern philosophy.
All
and
that. And we will accept him.
Not only will he not
wrap world around.
Not only will he not be criticized, he'll be idolized.
Uncle Drew 3 will be coming to you near soon to you in the movie theater soon. Yes, Kyrie,
Golden
come home.
Out of Lakers recruit
Kyrie,
right
how about this? He'll open up a chain of Kyrie's cold pressed juices
Absolutely.
All through Southern California.
You see Kevin Hart is opening up his first vegan drive through restaurant. Called the Heart Something.
Oh, yes. It's good living
heartbeat?
Out there.
Is heartbeat?
It's Heart
like,
Something.
Like Heartbeat Productions?
First vegan fast food drive-thru restaurant called the Heart.
I'll tell you what, I was out there for 6 years. Those were a good 6 years, boy. Whew. Yeah,
I know you.
That's what we do to you, Jay.
Every time we talk about L.A., I'll tell you, when I was out there for
How
six
long
years,
did you live there, Jay? You lived out there for a little while.
Like 2.5 years.
Yeah, he couldn't get into it, though.
I lived in Venice Beach. I loved it.
See, he couldn't really get into the lifestyle.
No, I'm not.
See?
I like the weather.
You could wear the same clothes 5 times in a day.
No.
After you work it out.
What? No. He'd have to go back
still
and.
The same Lululemon. Lemon, what is going on? What?
Jay's like, wait a minute. I got these new off-whites. When am I going to wear them if I wear the same thing every day? All right. Well, we certainly learned a lot today. We certainly did. We learned that. What did we learn?
The one that said the line, not me.
Well, I'm just trying. I know that we learned a lot. I'm just trying to remember what it is.
We learned that people are going to criticize Kevin Durant. Regardless. Max Kellerman.
Yep.
Regardless.
I'll praise him and criticize him.
CJ McCollum, you know.
With all due respect to Charles Barkley,
he's wrong.
We learned that.
We learned from Gotham Chopra about, you know, sessions of Draymond Green.
We learned that.
Oh, I'll tell you what we learned. That the Memphis Grizzlies are not going about talking about the Warriors the right way. That we certainly learned. You can't clap at the Warriors. Stop it.
I don't know if we learned that.
Yeah, you might as well take that L and keep it moving.
Keep it moving. Keep it moving.
All right, lay out. Stretch it.
You guys are boring.
Wait, why?
Stretch the closing. Stretch it.
What do you think I'm doing right now? Listen, I can tell you this right now. Even without knowing exactly what Greeny's going to be talking about in a matter of moments, it will be well worth listening to. And I'll tell you what else.
What do you think
he's
going to be talking about?
Well worth listening to. If you missed any part of the show, download the podcast. Not to mention, you got to tune in tomorrow, and at this rate, it feels like I'll still be doing this close tomorrow when we're back on the air. How long do I have to stretch over here? Listen, Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app.
15.
Did I mention you could download the podcast, Jake? We get credit for each download.
10.
Are you aware of
that? Amex!
Tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.